worship team for leading us to the throne this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Proverbs with us. Today is a family worship Sunday, and so that means that all of our children will be gathered together with us in worship. And so thank you, kids, for being in here with us. We value worshiping together as a family at Woodward Avenue. That's one of the things we do, this once a month where we don't have children's church. Everybody comes in the same room, and this is typically the day we do baptisms, Lord's Suppers, all of those things. So thank you, kids, for gracing us with your presence. And as I mentioned, have you have your Bibles open up to the book of Proverbs chapter 8. Really quick before we get going, somebody asked me this morning, when are normal Wednesday nights starting back? And y'all, we have some exciting offerings this year on Wednesday nights. I'm going to be leading Pastor's Coffee House out here in the Welcome Center. Brother Don Walker is going to be leading a study on Wednesday nights, I think on the book of Philippians. And so excited for Don to be coming back. That's all going to, and then choir, students, kids, all of that's going to be starting back Wednesday, September 3rd with a new schedule. Okay, so new schedule. Everything, all Bible studies, everything's going to be starting at 6. Band practice will be at 6. So if you're in the band, praise team, all of those things, band's at 6. And then choir will be starting at 7 p.m. We're doing that to try to help increase participation in our Bible studies. I know that, like, for example, if you serve in a place, and then if you serve somewhere in our church and you're in the choir, you don't necessarily get to go to like a Sunday school, small group Bible study environment all the time. So we want to kind of increase opportunities for that to happen. So I know many in the choir are excited about that. And so be looking for that September the 3rd, that Wednesday, okay? And then on top of that, in the coming weeks, the first of many Woodward Avenue babies will be born. And so my wife and I, we are on pins and needles waiting the arrival of Emery Ann. And then TK and Megan are expecting baby Anderson, and then we have other babies coming in September and October. So God is blessing us with a baby boom at Woodward Avenue. In light of that, the preaching schedule, Connor is ready to go at any moment, and so I told Connor, I said, the next month, I need you to be ready any Sunday. And so the personnel committee chaired by Susie Ray last year adopted a personnel policy that has paternity leave for any dad on staff and maternity leave for any mom. And so we are so thankful for the church offering us that. So I'm going to be taking some time to get adjusted to 3 kids. So we ran out of hands in our household. So y'all be praying for us and be praying for TK and Megan as well as they adjust to this new baby. Proverbs chapter 8. The idea that I want to communicate to you this morning, the main point is this: Jesus Christ is the eternal wisdom of God who calls out to us. Jesus Christ is the eternal wisdom of God who calls out to us. I'm going to split this kind of text up. It's a big chapter. We got to read a lot. And after last week's sermon on the forbidden woman, what we need to realize is that Solomon, following up this message to his sons, like, do not go to the adulteress. Don't go to the forbidden woman. He enters us to the woman that we are to attain, the woman that we are to know, the woman that we are to be in relationship with. Now, I want to be very clear. If he was writing this to daughters, and so a few of you had some great questions, like, why is he only writing to men in this chapter? Well, remember, he's writing to future kings, is what we discussed. He's given instruction. He's following Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 17, instructing kings to be wise in the law. If he was writing to women, he would say, marry this man, know this man, be in relationship with this man. But what we ultimately need to see is that Proverbs 8, the wisdom that's calling out to us, is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, who in 1 Corinthians is described as what? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. So the only way to be right with God is through Jesus. The only way to be right with God is through relationship. You see, the problem is that we've equated faithfulness with obeying rules. That you have to obey all of these rules and you have to do all these things and not do all of these things, which is part of a relationship. But the biggest thing is about a relationship is it's not just about obeying rules. It's about being in an intimate relationship. And the only way we can do that is through Jesus. The only way we can do that is through Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the eternal wisdom of God who calls out to us. Let's read the first 11 verses. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Besides the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. So Solomon introduces his sons to someone who is calling out to them, and he personifies wisdom as a woman. And the reason why is he's saying this: you must be in relationship with wisdom. You must know her. You must be with her over the forbidden woman whose lies drip from her mouth like honey, sweet for a moment, then bitter poison. And he's saying this: you need to recognize her voice. How many of y'all know that one person that when they walk into a room, you know exactly that, like what door they just came in, right? You know exactly. One of those men in my life is Jerry Rogers. I'm about to text him and tell him I mentioned him in my sermon. Jerry was a pharmacist. I worked for him for about 7 years in Northeast Alabama, started in high school. And when Jerry hit a door, you knew he was in the room. His voice preceded him. You knew his voice. How many of you have a mama that has a very distinct voice? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Listen, when I was a kid, if I ever heard the words Patrick Tyler, which I just leaked my first name to everybody, so congratulations. My mom cursed me by naming me Patrick and then calling me Tyler. I tell her that all the time. And so if I ever heard that and I knew that distinct voice, if somebody just said it, I'd be like, who just said that? But if I heard my mama's voice, I knew that there was a redhead somewhere looking for me. I know my mom's voice. Why? Because I'm in relationship with her. I knew Jerry's voice because I was in relationship with him. I knew him. I know her. And the thing you need to notice is that wisdom is not like the forbidden woman going and whispering seductively in the ears. What is she doing? Listen to me. She's standing at the city gate. She's in front of people. She's going out looking for those who will listen. Wisdom is not obscure. It's actually calling out where people are. It's going to where the people are. It's going where people live, where they walk, where they work, where they are breathing and eating and fellowshipping. Wisdom is going ever before us. And in the same way, Jesus does this. You know the old hymn, softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. You know it? But here's the thing about the Bible that we see a lot, if we're going to be real. Jesus doesn't really softly and tenderly call anybody. He's screaming. Listen to me. Hear me. Come to me. He's seeking those who are listeners. To those who have ears, let him hear. He's seeking those who will hear him, who will love him, who will be with him. And he's going out day after day at the crossroads where the competition for hearts is at its highest. He's not sitting back. He's not retreating into the churches. No, he's on the streets. One of my favorite things about the Message Bible. Now, many of you, if you've never had the Message is not a translation. It's a paraphrase by one teacher, Eugene Peterson. And it's helpful if you treat it in its proper context. One of the things that it says is that the Word became flesh and blood and came to our neighborhood. I love that language. That Jesus himself descended from heaven to be among us. Right now, many of you are squeezed into a pew and you could reach out and touch the person next to you. That's what Jesus did. You could touch him. You could be near him. And now today, you can know him through the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us so that we can know him, so that he can yell and scream at us. He is raising his voice. He's trying to get our attention. He's not yelling and screaming as someone who's punishing us. No, he's trying to get our attention. And the question is who will you listen to? You're going to see that next week in Proverbs 9. Which voice will you listen to? Will you listen to the woman of folly, or will you listen to the woman of wisdom? Will you turn down the noise of your life and listen to the public call of wisdom? Will you turn it down? Our life is full of noise, right? How many of you have ever been cooking and you leave that fan on that's right above the stove and everything in the house just sounds so loud? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes my wife and I will be sitting there like, why is it so loud? Oh, we left the fan on. And you know, touch it. Okay, everything gets quiet. There's noise, everything. And if you ever read the Screwtape Letters, the older demon tells the younger demon, our job is to make the whole world a noise. Distraction. Calling for your attention. Today, Solomon the sage is calling out to you, turn down the volume and listen to the yelling, crying out voice of Jesus. Follow me. Seek after me. Know me. Be in relationship with me. And what is she speaking? She's speaking noble, true, clear words of truth and righteousness, as you see in verses 4-9. All my words are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. Compare that to the woman who is dripping poisonous honey from her lips. Everything that she is saying is true, righteous, and knowable. Jesus does not speak lies. The Word of God does not speak lies. It contains all knowledge, all truth that we can have to attain salvation. And what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, in the life. So if Jesus is the truth, that means we must listen to him, and compare that to the words of Satan. What does Satan do? He lies. He lied in the garden. He's lied for the entire time of his existence, to the point that in John 8, Jesus goes, he's the father of lies. So literally, your entire existence is a battle between truth and lie. I think one organization in 2016 dubbed the word of the year that year, fake news. You remember that? Your fake news, your fake news, your fake news. But ultimately what it ends up being is that if fake news can just be whoever you don't want to hear, right? Because what we like to do is we like to listen to our version of the truth. And sometimes our version of the truth can be a lie. We can be easily deceived. So what's the answer? Seek after Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who only speaks truth. Who only speaks truth. Now, how many of you just love to hear the truth about yourself all the time? Nobody, right? I was talking to my wife about this the other day. We were talking about parenting, and one of the things about parenting that we've noticed in our six, almost 7 years of being at this this lifelong discipleship journey is that sometimes, and even in our own lives, I mean, our children are sources of sanctification. Parenting my children has helped me notice. I love to point out the falsities and the lies in others, and so do our children. But then, man, when you reveal that truth about them that they don't want to hear, what do? You kidding me? No way. Listen to what the lady says. She says, wisdom is saying, listen, simple ones, oh fools, learn sense. Like, you need to learn these things. You need to become aware of these things. One of the worst things in life is somebody who's not self-aware. Well, how do we become to self-awareness? Through listening to the voice of truth that calls out over all the noise, that only speaks righteousness and truth. And she concludes with, wisdom is better than all the riches of the world. What does Peter say to the man as he's walking into Solomon's portico, as he's walking into the temple? The man's laying there, he's begging for silver and gold. What does Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I will give you. What does he give him? Jesus. He gives him Jesus. If Jesus is worth, then all the riches of the world, all the things that we have, if instruction's better than silver, knowledge more desirable than gold, then the best thing that you can get today from this church is Jesus Christ. I pray that when you walked in these doors, you felt welcomed. I pray that when you walked into these doors, you felt the presence of the Spirit of God and that you felt all the things that you desire when you walk into a church. But if that's all you walk in and you get, brothers and sisters, you missed it. The greatest gift that we can give you is Jesus. And today, there may be somebody underneath the sound of my voice, underneath this, in this, that's under this roof, that doesn't know Jesus, that you've been struggling, you've been listening to the lies. Brother, sister, hear me. Jesus is better than everything. It's not Jesus plus something. It's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus is enough. And his wisdom, his words, that we can attain salvation, his life that we can cling to, because in our lives, we're so broken, we're so messed up, but he lived it perfectly. And he died the death that me and you deserve. He died that death on that cross. And when his blood was shed, we see in the Old Testament that his blood gave us the forgiveness of sins, not temporarily, but once and for all. And the best thing about Jesus is that he didn't stay in that grave. And only a holy God can do that. And that holy God desires to know you. And he is yelling at you. He's saying, listen to me. Hear me. Follow me. And today you walked into the right place. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. So not only does wisdom call out to us, wisdom also leads. If you look at verses 12 through 21. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance, the way of evil and perverted speech, I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently find me. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Those who seek, they knock. You know, knocking, you shall find. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. My yield is then choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness and the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. One commentator said that if you put those letters in red, it would read like the words of Jesus, and that is because they are. This is the very word of God. Jesus is speaking to us. This is who he is. And what is prudence? You may wonder, how wisdom dwell with prudence. That's the ability to govern oneself through reason and good judgment, characterized by careful consideration of potential consequences before acting. Oh, that our government would learn prudence. Oh, that our world would learn prudence. You see this, that wisdom fears the Lord and hates evil. The heart of wisdom is actually reverent towards God and resistant towards pride and evil. Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus loved righteousness and hated wickedness. That he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. His life perfectly displays true wisdom. His life is the life that is lived that displays wisdom before the world. Not only that, we see that wisdom actually empowers leaders to govern justly. The best leaders rule by God's wisdom. If you want to know what our problem in our world is today, it's because we don't have anybody that's willing to lead by God's wisdom. We have the wisdom of man leading us. So where shall we turn? Where shall we live? Listen, we live in a phenomenal country. Our country's great. It's not perfect. It's a great country. We can speak freely and truly. We can do what we need to do. We can go out and share the gospel without fear of any repercussions. But brothers and sisters, we are citizens of a greater nation. We're citizens of a greater kingdom. We are citizens and saints belonging to the household of God. So this is where we find our truth. This is where we gain our wisdom. Romans 13 tells us that all authority is from God. And so if Jesus is the King of Kings, that means he really is the King of Kings. He is the ruler over all things. He rules in righteousness. And not only that, he also blesses. Wisdom blesses those who love her in Proverbs, and Jesus blesses those who love him. Whenever we follow Jesus, we find all the riches that we could ever find. Now, that doesn't mean that, like we talked about a few weeks ago, it doesn't mean that we just say, man, you know what, God, like, I feel it today, I declare it in your name, I'm getting a private jet. Amen. Isn't it funny that one of the leading prosperity preachers, his last name's Dollar? Have you ever thought about that? Kind of on the nose a little bit. You know, you can sit here and you can go about and make Jesus a means to an end, or you can realize that Jesus is the means and Jesus is the end. It's in Christ that we find all the riches that we could ever attain. What does Jesus say? Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. And as he's going, a man's walking and he finds this treasure, what's he do? He goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Knowing Jesus, knowing wisdom is just like that. When we get Christ, we get eternity, we get life, we get treasures, we get all of the things that we desire. It was one of the old hymns that we sang recently that we get 10,000 charms. It's just there. We attain it. How do we attain it? Hearing wisdom's call and letting wisdom reign and rule over us. Brothers and sisters, here's the thing that you need to realize. No one is truly a free human being. Now, what do you mean by that? Obviously, we have free will. If I were to pick up this paper and drop this paper, well, then guess what? I did that. I chose to do that. But what I mean is this, that you are a slave to someone. You're a slave to the father, your father, the devil, if you're outside of Christ, or you're a slave to Jesus Christ. Who will you hear? Who will you submit to? Well, if you read the New Testament over and over, you see this word, a doulos of Jesus Christ in the Greek, and that literally means a servant, or you can also translate that word, a slave. Who will you submit to? Who will you let reign and rule over you? And if you say, well, me, well, then you're submitting to the devil. You must submit to Jesus. You must submit to his lordship. You are not a good person trying to come to Jesus to become better. No, you are a sinner who was dead in their sin, coming to Jesus for life and life eternal. And that means that you live by his reign and his rule in your life. But the best thing about Jesus is this. His reign and rule, they aren't heavy. Like many worldly governments that come, and we see what's happening on the other side of the world where the government comes in, they're oppressive and they're leaning on. And what does Jesus promise as a ruler? Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I'll give you a prophetic word really quick. Many of you today are going to go home and take one of the best naps of your life. You're going to do that. Why? And there's just something about Sunday morning. There's just something about that Sunday afternoon nap, right? In Christ, that's the rest that we find for our weary souls. Physical rest can only get us so far. How many of you tired is just a part of your personality now? But in Christ Jesus, where our souls are exhausted, we can come to him and his yoke is light and it's easy and we can find rest when we let his wisdom reign and rule over us, brothers and sisters. Come to the one who will lead you in righteousness and justice. Lastly, verses 22 through 31, we see that wisdom is eternal and divine. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle in the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress its command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him. Like a master workman, I was daily at his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. What we notice is that wisdom is not created, but it is there in the beginning with God. John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? God. Jesus is the eternal wisdom that is present before all things. In fact, Proverbs 8 is a great argument for the doctrine of creation and for the doctrine of the Trinity, that in with the wisdom of God, if Jesus is the wisdom of God, as Paul said, that means he was there from the very beginning. Colossians 1, 15 through 20, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen and amen. Jesus is the wisdom of God that has always been there, and in wisdom, wisdom rejoiced as the craftsman that was all things were made through and for. Proverbs 8 reveals more than just a poetic personification of wisdom. It actually reveals Jesus Christ. It reveals Jesus as the one whom before all creation was there. It reveals the one who all things were made for and through, and it reveals the one that came to save your very soul. It's mind-blowing when you think about it. It's mind-blowing when you ponder it. That the God who is before all things came to dwell with us. And then lastly, we see in the final passage of this, in Proverbs chapter 8, that wisdom leads us to life or death. Listen to verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Forever finds me, finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. So today you have a choice before you. You have a choice. Who will you submit to? What do we see about the Lady of Folly, the forbidden woman, the adulteress? That her way leads to what? Death. Her way leads to death. But this woman, she's saying out to us, if you know me, you hear me, you will flourish. You will find life, and you will find life eternal. You know, Jesus does the same thing at the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount. What does he do? There's two houses. Jesus is such a phenomenal storyteller. There's two houses. One was built on the sand, and what happens to the one on the sand when the storms come? It falls down. It collapses. It's not there anymore. And you go and you look at that house and be like, man, that person didn't prepare well. That person didn't do life. So what's the other person do? They build their house on the rock. They build their house on the rock. And when they build their house on the rock, when the storms come and the rains come, what's that house do? It stands. It stands the test of time. And this is the thing I want you to notice. The storms came to both of them. You're not impervious to storms, brothers and sisters. The storms come, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And where you build your foundation matters. Who you listen to matters. And the wise man, the wise woman built his life on the words of Christ, on his word, and obedience brings a life that can stand anything that comes its way. Many of you have suffered in this building. Many of you have suffered different diagnoses or unforeseen tragedy, unforeseen circumstances. And I've watched you the last 2 years persevere and stand upon the word of God, surrounded by your brothers and sisters who are standing upon that same word. How can we do that? Because Jesus is the solid rock upon which we can stand. But if we reject wisdom, you are inviting death into your life. So as I mentioned earlier, today, you may have walked in this place, you may not have known Jesus, or maybe you thought you knew him and you realized, man, I really didn't know him. You have a choice to make. And if you walk in this room, week in, week out, and you keep rejecting it, brothers and sisters, you're not growing any younger, spiritually and physically. Every breath we take, we are one breath closer to our death. And here's the thing, outside of Christ, you're already spiritually dead. And when we reject wisdom, our hearts grow ever harder and we reject life. But listen to what Jesus says. Whoever hears Jesus and believes, that's what he says, has passed from death to life. So that even when physical death comes, eternal life reigns. So even that when the cancer diagnosis comes, life reigns within you. Even when the threats of divorce loom and all of these things that come in this life that are hard on marriages, life can come through Jesus Christ. Restoration can come through Jesus Christ. So when the unforeseen happens, if you're built upon the rock that is Jesus, brother and sister, you will stand. You will stand. Proverbs 8 is inviting us to a relationship, not just rules. It's inviting us to know the wisdom of God, to know her, and to know her is to know Jesus, who Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24 is the very wisdom of God. He's calling out to you today. Not from just a street corner, but from the cross and the empty tomb. He's calling out to you today. Follow me. Follow my words. Worship me. Be with me. Know me. Wisdom says in this passage, whoever finds me finds life. Will you come to Jesus and live today? Will you pray with me? Father, we bless your name as the one who is holy, holy, holy. But God, in Christ Jesus, the holiness of God has come and dwelt among us, has come and moved into the neighborhood. We can know him. He can be near us. If through the Spirit of God, we know that Jesus can be known. God, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. Father, for those who are far from Christ this morning, may we see that it is you who seeks and saves the lost. It's you who draws the sinner. It's you who does the work. God, may you just prick their hearts. May you do a work that no man can do. Father, we lean upon you. God, give them the freedom from sin that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Father, help the sinner in this room right now that needs to repent of sin, to see the wickedness of their ways, and to truly choose Jesus. The best choice that we are free to make is that of choosing Christ Jesus. The best choice that we can make is that of choosing life over death. May we choose Jesus over the ways of this world. May we choose the wisdom of God. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand and sing with us, and will you come and find the wisdom of God today?